At WCSG, our bullpen is where your WCSG DJs spend time warming up and getting ready for your family-friendly morning show. The most music for your midday and the ride home.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Brittany.
Welcome to the bullpen.
Welcome to the bullpen. Thank you so much for taking us with you wherever you go. We do not have a special guest for you this time, but if you missed our time with Chris August, make sure you check out our last episode. That was really special and
fun.
Got to hear a lot of stuff him that we wouldn't generally hear on the air.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
It was good. Either way, we are excited to try something new today that we are calling Soap Opera Circle.
Ooh.
Jeremy, did you find some appropriate music?
I will find appropriate music.
The Young and the Restless.
Now.
Okay, so the short of it is that one of us starts the story with a sentence, then we go around the table adding to the story one sentence at a time. We'll cut it off after 3 minutes, and either the story will be done or we'll have a cliffhanger to start another time.
Oh my.
So, Tom, you get to start this edition of Soap Opera Circle.
Okay, this is exciting. All right, here we go. So, in my best soap opera voice, Lane woke up that morning with a sneaking suspicion that someone had stolen his pet hamster, Napoleon.
Oh, man.
Oh.
He came to this conclusion because when he looked across the room and looked into the cage, it was empty.
Yeah, it was.
Let's see. Unfortunately enough, the cleaning lady had been in the night before.
This is
don't
difficult.
Overthink it.
Yeah, right. Lane knew he had given Rosaria all of the keys to his double wide, but thought he hadn't yet given her the key to the hamster cage.
But he knew that she was in there because he found her dust broom.
Yes, yes. After he had told her that he was just doing his homework, it was a strange conversation they had. But Lane knew. Lane knew the conversation was strange because Rosario had been eyeing Napoleon the hamster for years. Years. Years.
Wow.
That key wasn't just the key to the hamster cage. It was the key to Lane's heart.
Oh, yes, perfect.
Yeah. Wow.
How many more minutes do we have left?
Was that
minute and a half?
That was all one sentence?
That was amazing.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a couple comments.
The key to his heart.
Semicolon.
Oh. Ellipsis. Yeah,
perfect. His first instinct when looking for Napoleon was to go for the vacuum. Because she thought that for sure Rosario could have sucked Napoleon up.
Horrified, Lane remembered a conversation he had had with Rosario where she disclosed that part of her family's celebration of the holiday of Yom Kippur was to eat a hamster.
Oh. That's okay.
Yeah, no, it makes no sense at all.
They're kosher.
Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
Like his namesake, had Napoleon been exiled to a holiday dinner platter, island upon the lazy Susan of Rosario's family table.
Contemplating all this in the room, he decided it was time to take action. So he finally, after all of this thought, walked out of the room to track down Rosario.
Rosario was indeed with her family. The lazy Susan was out. And Napoleon the hamster was there. You see, Napoleon had been laid on the lazy Susan Rosario's heart for a long time. And she just took this opportunity to love that little hamster so she could bring him back clean and well-groomed.
Oh, the end.
Wow. Yes.
So he
nice.
Wraps it up.
He
Resolution.
Didn't die.
No.
He was just being cared for.
You're right.
Being
right.
Cared
right.
For.
Right.
He
okay.
was the guest of honor, actually.
Yes.
Perfect.
Actually, Yom Kippur.
Perfect.
So she was just cleaning it.
Yeah, totally. Just she's the cleaning lady.
I'm
what
glad,
do you expect?
Because my next line was going to have something to do with like his meats with cheese and crackers.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh.
Grapes.
Oh, no.
That was fun. I liked
that was
it.
Nice. It was.
Okay.
This is Bullpen Court.
Okay, so court is now in session.
Yes.
Nice. It's been a while since we've been in the courtroom, but here we are. We each have a case to present while the rest of the bullpen weighs in on the judgment. Steve, why don't you approach the bench and share our first case?
All right. Well, I recently turned 50. And
Yay!
And there's something that I've never done and I have never had any desire to do, but it recently came up among some of the members of this panel as something that I should do. So, two parts to this question. One, make a case for me to get a pedicure. And two, just generally speaking, should people do something they're in no way otherwise compelled to do solely on the advice and recommendation of others?
I wouldn't want you to do anything that you're really wildly uncomfortable with.
Yes.
So if you do not like people touching your feet, a pedicure is probably not for you.
Correct.
However, I think that most people I have talked to, men and women who have experienced the pleasure of a pedicure, would say, yeah, it was kind of weird going in, but I loved it by the time I was done.
Here's,
so there's the case for why you should.
And here's another big aspect to the pedicure, the massage chair. So even if the foot thing is a little weird, you get an awesome massage chair, which is just great.
Okay.
In answering your other question, I also have not had a pedicure, and I was part of that discussion.
Right.
But as far as like being compelled to do things that others suggest, I feel like if you're wildly uncomfortable about it, don't do it, obviously.
Right.
But I feel like even being here for the last several years, like there have been a lot of new experiences that I've been a part of.
He's been wildly uncomfortable with.
No, but I feel like they've helped change me into a better person.
It's broadened your horizon.
Yes, yeah, I would agree. And so I feel like that, and it's also encouraged me to try things of my own that maybe I wouldn't have normally. So I feel like there's that advantage to
That's a good point.
There is something amazing that happens when you get all of that dead skin sloughed off your heel for the first time. I've given myself a pedicure. I've used this product called Baby Feet.
I heard of that.
Stick your foot in a bag for a few hours, and then your skin begins to fall off like you're a leper, in a good way.
Without
the kind of
Like, it's kind of like, and I'm not kidding, it's like taking a breath of fresh air with your foot. It is, I mean, it is really, it's just invigorating.
Does it enable you to smell heat?
No, few things do, Steve. It's invigorating. It feels good. And I think that once you do it, you're going to be happy you did.
And not to reinforce the fact that you just turned 50.
Right. Okay, right, yeah.
But there is something that happens to one's body as it ages.
Oh, wow.
And for some people, the feet become an issue. They get very callousy, and their toenails get yellow thick and hard to cut. And so if you start this process now, Kelly will still be able to live with you when you're 75.
Okay, so but what if I just wait until my toenails, I can't clip them with the equipment that I have at home, and I take it to a professional.
$300 for the pedicure. Yeah, it's probably better
dumber situation.
To
get ahead of the maintenance.
So there's a pay scale on the pedicure?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Although,
so like,
a lot
if you're 50, it costs this much. If you're,
a lot of times you at the salon, you will have someone who does not speak your language. They do not speak English. Or they do, but they also have a second language.
Right.
And so, depending on how gnarly your feet are, you'll hear them talking in a language that you do not understand about your feet. So you don't want to be that guy who has the nasty feet that they're going back and forth in their native tongue, and you don't know what they're saying.
Well, and I just feel like that's any sort of, like, service... Not agency, profession. But like service industry. Profession. Yes. Yeah. When you're like, I don't want them to be totally disgusted.
But do you want to talk about it? Oh, no, that's disgusting.
Close.
Sorry.
Close.
Okay.
Are you uncomfortable with it?
See, here's the thing. Like, I don't think my feet are any, prize winners. But I also don't feel like they're super gross.
Yes.
But now I'm a little more self-conscious knowing that they're speaking about my feet potentially.
No, they probably aren't. They're probably, I don't know.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. One thing I say a lot is I would try almost anything once.
Yeah.
Try it one time. Maybe you'll love it. Maybe you're like, this is not for me. But at least you can get to the end of your life and say, well, I tried it.
Right.
No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets.
And if you don't like it, I'll buy you the baby foot package, and you can give yourself the pedicure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make sure to only put that thing on my feet, because I don't want skin sliding off, like, my hands or my face.
That's a good call.
Don't put it on your face.
Well, yeah. Never a good idea to put a bag on your face.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Baby all right.
So what's the judgment? Judgment is for...
He should go get a pedicure.
Get the pedicure, man. Do it.
Yeah.
All right.
And if you need a buddy to go with, I know.
Oh, you two should go together.
Pedicure pals.
Yes. That I mean, Brent and I would totally
yes,
go
absolutely.
Together.
Totally, totally normal.
All right. Tom, why don't you continue?
Okay. So we've got this woodpecker who has been assaulting our house for about 3 years straight now. He will incessant pecking at the house. I go up and I slam against the wall. He flies away for maybe a few seconds. A few different spots, but now...
The same woodpecker?
Same woodpecker. Sure of it.
Does he have a very distinctive laugh?
Yes. Kind of like a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, like,
No, but he's... I mean, it's getting to the point where he's causing damage. I went out the other day and threw some rocks at him, but I found out... No, I stopped because I don't want to kill the woodpecker, and I found out it's illegal to kill woodpeckers.
Is it?
They're, I rebuild one.
it might be. Either way, I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of this thing, and I'm wondering if and this is not, we're not going to change the law here, but do you think that it's okay? I mean, to kill a woodpecker in a situation like this?
Are they endangered?
Yeah, they're in danger of me throwing a rocket at them.
But I mean, like, are they on the special list?
Yeah, they are.
Like the dinosaurs?
From what I understand, that they're on a... They're on a
I think the dinosaurs are done.
The dinosaurs are gone.
Yeah, they're off the list.
They've lost their chance.
Yeah, they've been knocked off the list for a little while. These are like mini dinosaurs.
But to be fair, if you had a dinosaur smashing his head against your house, you could kill it. I think it would be okay. That'd be okay.
You'd have to take a big, like,
because we have the technology.
Perfect.
We have the technology to just make more.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's one woodpecker. It's the side of my house.
Do you think
plenty of holes?
Does he? Now. You saw Ratatouille.
Yeah.
Where it was one mouse who was really like the main character, but he was helping to feed all of the other mice.
Right. No.
So by getting rid of that one mouse, you would have hurt the rest of the colony. Is that the
also,
case?
Also, I just want to. They were rats. So,
Ratatouille.
So,
way to go,
that's a good point, Steve.
I just wanted to clarify.
Okay. That's a game changer for what she was saying.
So, like, if it was like a skunk or something, you would capture it,
and then
like
let
the
it
DNR
go.
Would capture it and then bring it somewhere else and release it. So, can they do that with a woodpecker?
No, they fly and they're in midair.
Get a giant net, like butterfly catching.
Here's the thing: your professional job is to be a radio person, and you know how to do that and do that well. Wildlife people know how to do their job well, too.
Okay.
I'm
Call
pretty
the
sure that they could capture a bird, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Because we have had Rehome situations it. With groundhogs. We also had some squirrels that were living in our soffit, and there's lots of different ways for them to capture. I think that's your best course of action.
Right.
I'm not a big proponent for killing animals unnecessarily.
Yeah, I'm not like foaming.
And I wouldn't want you to live with that.
No.
Could you just give it a little sting with a BB gun?
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. What if I accidentally killed them?
Or is where he's hitting your house anywhere near a window?
Plenty of windows.
Okay. So look around the house, like look down on your feet. If you've got a bag anywhere nearby, just pull that bag off your foot and like throw it over the woodpecker and take it out to the woods.
You know,
he have a bag on his foot?
Because he's letting the skin fall off.
Because I've got the baby foot thing. Take it off your foot and put it on the woodpecker. I did find, there was this product you can buy. It's a spider that will come down off a string 16 to 18 inches, and every time it hears a sound, it will go down and scare the woodpecker away.
Are you serious?
Yes, that's out there.
Is that for Halloween? Or
no, it's for woodpeckers.
You could also use it for Halloween, for sure.
Totally.
Well, speaking of spiders, though, here's the other thing. The reason why it's pecking is it's probably looking for bugs.
Right.
So do you need to have an exterminator first?
No, I checked that. We don't have no bugs.
Okay,
no.
So he's just being irritating.
Totally.
Sort of like when kids bite their nails, they say to put like nail polish remover or suck their thumb.
Bitter.
Could you put nail polish remover like in the hole?
Tabasco sauce all over the holes.
Yeah,
that's actually a really good idea. Okay.
Try that.
I'm liking this.
Try it, video it, and bring back us progress.
Yes,
please.
Perfect. That'll be evidence A.
I hear the ruling is spare the woodpecker, but just maybe scare him or burn his little woodpecker lips with cayenne pepper.
Yes.
Or
you could get a
over.
Cat.
Right.
Ooh, I know a guy.
All right.
For Jeremy getting rid of his cat.
All right. You getting rid of your cat?
You want them?
No, I don't. Okay.
No, I don't think my kids would let me do that.
No, okay.
No. All right. Britt?
Okay, so my husband and I get into this argument on a fairly regular basis.
Ooh.
He does not like it if we are watching TV and I am on my phone. He wants me to put my phone down.
Oh.
I have to be on my phone. I mean, I don't have to be, but I want to look up where these characters were, how old these people were when they filmed this movie,
so you're not
or
Facebooking.
TV show. No, not usually. Sometimes yes. I'm on Facebook Marketplace, but most of the time I'm looking up stats about whatever show it is. And then I share those stats. So I don't really know if it's the aspect of me being on the phone that's so frustrating or me being like, hey, this man was born in 1945 or whatever. I don't really know.
This is the father of
yes.
James Earl Jones. You
yes,
guys
exactly.
were telling me about
that. Yes, see, and that is a tidbit I learned because I was on my phone while we were watching
Who's
TV.
Who's the father of James Earl Jones?
There's a voice guy, right?
So did you watch, have you ever seen The Sting with Robert Redford and
not,
what's its?
No, I
well,
can picture the cover part.
Okay, so there's this guy, there's this character in it, and we were watching this movie and we're like.
Luther, right?
Yes. We're like, Luther, good job, Steve.
wow, we're going to have a great show this afternoon.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
Boy, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yikes.
Exit stage left, even.
Thank you, Snagglepuss.
But, okay, so this guy, character Luther, I'm like, man, he looks a lot like James Earl Jones. So I looked up, and it's James Earl Jones' dad.
Yep. Who knew he had a dad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew he had a dad, but I didn't know he was an actor.
Right. So this isn't you checking out and not watching the movie with him. This is you enhancing the movie experience by
it's
looking
like
up facts.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if he feels
okay.
like that's
yes,
what it is.
I would say maybe Spencer feels like I want to like fully enter into this story. I don't want to be brought back to reality by these facts about the behind the scenes making.
Sure.
I want to be all in first. And present to the moment of the story. So
all
there
right,
might be
okay.
that side of that.
Okay. Okay.
Try it his way.
Yeah.
I have, sort of.
maybe if you could do the pop-up video for the movies on movies that you guys are watching for the second time. Mm. But if you're watching it for the first time,
maybe no. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah?
But let's just be honest. Are you going to watch The Sting for a second time?
Nobody is. Yeah.
Nobody.
Or... have a little notepad and write down your questions, do the research after, and then share that.
Just
with
got a Holly Hobby notepad.
He was 28 when he filmed this, and he's married to the brother of Brittany Goddard.
Yeah, do a PowerPoint of the movie afterwards. Like, honey, we're doing a PowerPoint after The Sting tonight for half an hour.
So there is your compromise. You say, okay, Spence, either you allow me to be on my phone and find my little research nuggets during the movie, or you have to wait an hour after the movie while I share all
and also, just be aware I'll be taking notes.
Yeah,
I'll be like taking notes.
Being
the whole
on my
time,
phone wasn't distracting. Right, me with this giant notepad wasn't distracting
pencil
at all.
On paper.
He's got a laptop out. Yeah.
And clickety click click.
All right, so judgment is for you to.
I don't know. You guys tell me.
Tell them to suck it up.
Can I be on my phone?
So I was actually about to say ruling in favor of Spencer, but
okay. So we got a Spencer vote. We got a Brittany vote. Tom,
I'm going to go with Brittany. I think that part of marriage is compromise.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. And Jeremy.
Spencer.
Oh, we have a hung jury.
We do have a hung jury. I would say 1 week on, 1 week off.
Oh,
there you go.
Shared
custody.
Shared custody.
My phone.
Yeah, there it is. All right.
There you go.
Share the love.
All right. Well, sticking with like the watching TV show things, I guess I would like to have a better understanding of how to navigate when you're watching a program alongside somebody, like a Netflix program, where you have a whole season available to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say alongside someone, meaning like...
You're watching it together.
Okay. So not like it's like you and your spouse or you and your friend. It's not like you are watching it while other people are also watching it at work.
Like us.
Like,
like we kind of do it sometimes with our programs. Uh-oh. So I'm thinking about that.
Our programs.
With our programs. Our stories.
Our stories.
But I mean, yes, there's definitely times where it's my wife and I. There's times where it's my friend and I. And there's times where it's here. So it's anytime you have kind of entered into, not a formal agreement, but just an understanding that we are watching this together.
We are.
We sometimes get off track and some of us are moving forward and some of us are falling back. Like, how do you navigate like being the one that maybe is moving forward faster than the rest?
Oh, I got chastised for this recently for Netflix cheating on my wife, and she
did.
She got really mad at me.
This is why I need this. Yeah. What show? What show?
I was like the Crown. Sorry, I was three episodes ahead of her, and there's no catching up
you
at that point.
You can't catch up.
I know, because she's so.
Well, easy solution. You need to leave right now.
Yeah.
You need to go get those three precious cherubs. You take them for the rest of the day, and she gets to catch up.
Yes. She gets to catch up. I know. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
No, that's the best solution. I'm well aware of it.
Let her catch up and not feel stressed about being behind. That's the hardest thing is when you're behind.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't want to ever make somebody feel behind.
I know she's right.
I don't want to ever make somebody feel behind, but I also don't want to feel hindered that I can't move forward because somebody else can't.
Here's the thing. There are many a TV show on Netflix.
That is also true.
So start a different one.
Supplement with other material.
Mister, I blasted through Ozark, and Amanda's way behind, but also can't get into Parks and Rec.
Well, so, I am in it. I'm just not as far.
Yeah.
You could also choose another Jason Bateman special, Arrested Development.
Yeah. That's true. Okay. So,
or Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie. Was he in there?
Yeah. He was, as a child.
As a regular?
Stop it.
Toward the end of the series, yeah.
What? Really?
No way. Who was he?
How old was
he? Was...
Oh, Brittany. Yeah. Brittany.
Oh, look at the IMDb going. We're watching Arrested Development.
He played, it's on TV right now.
We're all into it. And...
I think like Mary and Laura's cousin or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. Was he real cute then?
Oh,
I get him confused with Jerry O'Connell a lot, so I always think he was in that show Sliders. You remember that?
Or Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I loved Sliders.
Okay,
that was a good show.
Yeah. It brought up Little House on the Prairie first, and I got to find Jason Bateman.
I'll tell you this. He was also on Silver Spoons with James Ricky
Schroeder. Who's now on like a police show, or he was for a while.
He was. He played a real brat on that show.
Was he the friend that was
hilarious?
Oh, man. Yeah.
He was like as Eddie Haskell was to Leave It to Beaver, this kid was.
Yep. So his first appearance in was in a cereal commercial for Golden Grahams in 1980, and then he began his TV career.
So he's older than me.
Yes, on Little House on the Prairie, James Cooper, an orphan boy who, along with his sister, is adopted by the Ingalls family.
There you go. Not cousins. Sorry.
And then he was the bad boy on Silver Spoons. His name was Derek Taylor.
Two first names.
Yeah.
Wait, Jeremy Henry. Wait a minute.
Also, Taylor was a last name before it was a first name.
Okay.
Jonathan
Taylor. I'm hearing supplement with other programs.
Yes,
find all the Jason Bateman you can.
Or you go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah.
But you just keep it a secret.
Right.
You can't tell anyone.
I've tried that, but I always get found out.
Yeah, that's not good.
And that is a lesson.
That is a lesson. All right. I get it. I will stick to the rules. The unwritten Netflix rules.
Yeah, totally.
Am I the last one?
You're the last one.
Okay, this one doesn't so much apply to me anymore. And I do have an opinion on it, but I think this is something that divides a lot of people. I saw it recently in the mall. Is it okay to ever have your kid on a leash?
Oh, man.
Oh.
Go ahead, Tom. You have an
opinion.
Tom's
got a story.
We have a kid leash that we use.
Okay.
And we use it in places where there's lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's lots of people, they can easily get lost and snatched. We don't put them on a leash as a rule, and we don't like let them hang on the leash necessarily. We still hold on to their hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, crazy dog child time.
Dog child time.
But for situations like art prize or you're at the mall or you're at the ballpark, it is very useful.
I would agree with you. And I was very anti-leash.
Same.
Anti-leash until I had kids. And then I had a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
And then I had a 15-month-old. And then I had a baby.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, if I want to go anywhere and keep my children safe,
no kidding,
one of them's got to be leashed up.
What if we change the terminology from leash to like tether?
Tether.
Something that was a little
On house arrest. You're on tether.
Oh, yeah, I guess
that's the teenagers.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, that's got a little negative. I'm just
this
trying to think
like
of something that sounds
backpack,
less animal.
And then it had like a little handle thing that
totally.
You could pull
like the
out.
Monkey tail.
Little dog face on there. Yeah.
See, but I always thought it was inhumane, but it's like, no, the parents actually just trying to keep them safe.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And I think that's the unfortunate thing. I think you do have situations sometimes where it appears
to the casual passerbyer that the parents just at, like not paying attention.
Checked out.
Like, or, I don't want to have to watch you every second, so I'm going to put this thing on you.
And I'm tying it on my belt.
Yes. Now, I will say, I used to be very anti-leash as well, kid leash. Then I realized that, like, oh, you know, people have different personalities. Mm-hmm. So just because I was way too terrified to leave my mother's side growing up doesn't mean that that's every kid's personality.
Right.
So, like, yeah, if you have a kid that listens to your every command, fine, but...
And there are some kids that cannot stay in a stroller or be held all the time, and they are just wiggly children, and just let them let them walk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Steve, you have... Go ahead.
We get some looks. You, oh, yeah. If you bring the kid out on the leash, expect to be despised.
Now, I've got a question.
And loved.
How many kids slash what age are we talking about using the leash? Oh. Like, is it just for, like, the youngest? Is it for all of them?
This is my...
Yeah.
Oh, just the youngest. Just that we got a two-year-old. Yeah. So everybody else is cool without a leash. And I think up until the age of about maybe three, that's okay. Anywhere past there, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
I feel like I've always found them to be weird, but as I have children and I realize how in the blink of an eye, they can just gone. And so I think, I mean, I see the value in it. I'm maybe not as comfortable to do that with my children, but I totally understand somebody
using
it.
But your children mind all the time. Never disobey.
That's the story I tell you. They're older now. Obviously, I'm not going to do it for a 7 and 10-year-old, but...
Come here. You want it back when they're older,
when
though.
They're teenagers.
Like, I would like to be able to tether you a little bit.
I'm just getting to the point where it's like, if my kids are safe, I don't care what people think. You know, it's just I know you're good. I know you're safe. I know this is going to keep you safe. If someone looks at me strange, who cares?
Well,
you're safe.
It's not like you've got like one child. Yeah. I can see where you might get some like looks if you are like out as a couple and you have one kid on a leash. But if you've got several kids, you're trying to keep track of them all.
If, like, those Manhattan dog walkers who've got about 10. Yes, you put all your kids on a leash and you just got that thing wound around your wrist. And that's right.
They're just sidewalk.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of how it feels sometimes.
Yeah. Or if you make them drink out of a dog bowl.
And
that,
you bring up the preschool class, and I used to work next to a preschool. Yeah. And what they did is they would hold a rope, and the kids just had to hold the rope.
Right.
You know, that's another alternative,
because I do think... There is something to be said for, at some age, a kid having some, but also instruction that they have to follow. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you will hold on to this rope, you know, there's a little bit of discipline that's involved there. Not for a 2-year-old necessarily, but by the time they get to school, they're taking some ownership in their own safety.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I like that.
Wow. All right. So what are we ruling? We're ruling it's okay?
It's okay.
Yes.
All right. Way to go, everybody.
Well, everybody, you guys, thanks, as always, for listening to WCSG's Welcome to the Bullpen. We so appreciate your support. And don't forget, you can join the show. You can be a part of this.
You can. We've got an empty seat for you.
Exactly.
About Netflix and leashes.
That's right.
And Brittany's obsession with looking up facts.
Yeah. Yes.
All you got to do is email us at bullpen@wcsg.org. We do truly love to hear from you. And we're also grateful when you subscribe, review if you love it. If you don't, just keep your thoughts to yourself.
As your mom always told you.
That's right. Review and share Welcome to the Bullpen. It helps us reach more listeners. You can always find WCSG's Welcome to the Bullpen wherever you listen to great podcasts and at WCSG.org, keyword bullpen.
What the what?
Well, while the regular news can feel... I feel like especially lately, like it's filled with what the what moments. We want to dig in a little deeper to find those truly crazy news stories. So it is time for what the what. Jeremy, what did you find?
Okay, so I found this story and it made me kind of giggle in a way because when I was a kid, I had a brainchild moment with a friend of mine that we would feed Alka-Seltzer in bread to seagulls in the nearby parking lot because we heard they can't pass gas and we thought we would be able to watch them explode.
Wow. Jeremy needed a leash.
They just never came back. So, but apparently if
an
I live
for your woodpecker, Tom,
that's
You're right. Good start. Had I lived in New Hampshire though, it would have gotten me in trouble. A man is accused of kicking a seagull that tried to eat his cheeseburger at a New Hampshire beach and has now been fined $124.
That's super expensive cheeseburger.
Yeah. He was reported by a bystander at the beach this summer. He said that he had just returned from getting his cheeseburger and fries, was sitting down in the sand for a nice lunch, and he said one of the seagulls got to the burger. He spun around with his leg to shoo one away, but accidentally struck the bird, said it was a simple mistake, but there is a law that seagulls are protected under, and so now he's been fined.
But your fries and your hot dogs aren't protected?
They eat garbage.
They do.
I don't. Yeah. They eat garbage. Serious.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, they should not be protected.
Seagulls
like that.
Are rats
the
with
witness
wings.
Says. Yes. The witness says the bird's leg was injured
oh,
and
no.
it struggled to fly away.
Aww.
All right. Maybe well, just... if that happened to that guy, you know when you go in the budgie house at the zoo, they get you by the little stick that has the food
oh,
on
yes.
it for a buck, and you can go and you put the stick
and
up.
The big
and the
flight
birds
of birds
come
and eat off the stick.
Oh,
yeah.
This sounds like an absolute
nightmare.
Terror.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
No, I have never done this.
Oh,
like,
it's
you're like that lady from Home Alone.
Pretty much. Yeah, the
feed the birds.
Ew.
Yes. Yes.
Ew.
Well, this is a thing you can do, and oh, it's God. Fun for little kids, and also like your kids who are, oh, say teenagers, that are helping the little kids and don't realize how big their feet are. And sometimes they happen to step on one and cripple it horribly.
Oh, no.
And mom goes, just kick it to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
So what? what? I mean, what else
this bullpen cord is back in session.
Yeah,
it is.
That was a very specific hypothetical for instance.
Yeah, maybe sometimes.
Wow.
I won't tell you which place this was at, but they had so many birds. Like that one was... It
you
was
know what?
Gonna,
I'm going to say this. It's probably not an uncommon occurrence.
Also, if they're going to stick birds in a place where people can come in contact with them, they're not putting like any endangered birds in there.
Because I have been in a room like that, and I mean, you'll just see them. They'll just whoosh. They will like, they just fly in groups all over together. It's a crazy mess.
Yeah.
So I could totally see that happening.
Just kick it to the side.
Yeah, just shoo it over. They'll clean it up later.
Right.
Well, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't think it's uncommon.
Right. I'm sorry, town council people, I don't know who, in New Hampshire.
Hampton, New Hampshire.
Leslie Nope would not stand for this.
Correct.
Like, next time they're together, let's do a screening of Finding Nemo, and especially the scene with...
Mine?
Yes, that
mine,
scene.
Mine.
Like, I think we'll have a different opinion
or
of seagulls
birds.
After that.
Yes, or the birds, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways,
he has a $100 fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's only $124, but you know what? Hey, that's more than he was bargaining for when he thought he was just going to the beach for a nice lunch.
If he were to start a Kickstarter to pay for his fine,
Kickstarter,
I would pay for it.
Yes.
I would pay for it for sure. Yeah. I would put some money towards that because there's.
Yep. We're all stuck.
It does.
Kickstarter now uses him.
It takes a lot of sand.
Their spokesperson.
Yes.
That's all right.
Awesome.
What the what?
Good. There we go.
All right. Well, I don't feel like it's an especially great story, but I was reading it and I literally said, what? So I figured that meant I had to do
That's
it. Okay. So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released a new study this week claiming that 1 in 3 U.S. adults eat fast food every day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is a
1 in 3
what.
Every day.
For all three meals or at least once a meal?
At least once a day.
1 in 3?
Well, I know, but
1 in 3 eat fast food every single day. So I guess they were looking at some stats. They're saying 45% of adults ages 20 to 39 ate fast food daily. But the older
that's
you
still
get
with their parents.
Yeah, right. The older you get, the less likely it is that you eat fast food every day. They're also saying that one of the factors, I guess, the higher income you have, the more fast food, which I'm like, well, duh, because
you got the money to spend.
I couldn't
on.
Afford to go to fast food every single day. But they're saying, well, you know, it might not be all bad because fast food chains are starting to be healthier with some of the things they offer. But still,
I don't buy it. I don't.
No.
When you
if
go
you're
to McDonald's,
every day,
you're not
getting a salad.
Right.
They just recently, though, their chicken nuggets are now preservative free, and most of their hamburgers are preservative free.
That's
as well.
Shaped like a boot. Can I still get the boot, the bell, the
yes, you can. They're thinner boots. They're thinner now, though.
Star.
They're not as fat. Yeah.
Pots of golden rainbows and the red balloons.
All right.
That's sad. That's sad.
I just get, every
does that mean
day.
Does that mean just like your Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Burger King, or is that also like fast casual, like Panera Bread,
Chipotle?
Probably.
But still, every day
that is extreme.
So
every, that's
we
that's
do.
I feel like.
Good. Best.
When you say we, this gets to what I'm about to say.
Oh.
You're talking about your family?
Our family.
Yeah.
We try to limit it to once a week.
So I feel like I don't know, something in the way this is written, I'm imagining like individuals. Just I'm getting my lunch by myself, mm-hmm. drive through, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I feel like obviously it's going to be more costly to take your whole family, but at least you're eating somewhere with your family.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Versus just like, you know, just food is fuel. It's there used to be like a social component to meals that I feel like we're losing.
So. We are.
Well, that's a very good point.
I know for sure.
And the other thing is we are so busy.
Right.
Like a lot of times fast food is kind of the best option.
Right.
I mean, we've been struggling with that throughout this last month with different sporting events happening like right at our dinner time.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so we've been packing a lot of sandwiches, but then there also been several times where it's like, okay, just swing by and grab some food.
Right.
So I could totally see how that has now become a habit for many families.
I was just surprised in the like once a day.
That is
and
a
how
lot.
One in three eat it once a day. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's like
that
means in here,
so
two
us,
of us would do that on a
I
regular
do not.
Basis.
Who does?
We do not.
I'm looking at you, Tom.
No, I fall into that category though, because there has been many times when it's just like, okay, we got this, we got that, we got this.
Convenience.
We've got no choice but to grab something. We recently. Just a couple days ago, decided to go on a fast food fast. So we're not going to have fast food.
Nice. Extra fast food?
Indefinitely. No, we're at least through Christmas, we're deciding not to go out.
Christmas.
Yeah, no fast food, no pizza nights. We're doing it all at home.
Wow.
And we've decided to format a menu on the weekend and make those meals through the week. And that's what we're doing.
That's really good.
Yeah, I will say, we've got menu schedule. We've been doing that, and that helps a lot with that.
But. We do too. Like tonight, I'll be the bad guy. Just based on what my kids have for practice, and I'm the only one who's able to drive tonight, and I don't yet have another driver in my house. It's either we pick up something on the way, or we eat at 9:30.
When mom
gets up at 4, like, know, that's not, not something I'm super excited about. But I do the menu. Like, I know built in today is the swing through and grab something dinner.
Well, and there's no shame, at all at getting fast food.
No.
To me, it's just like
it's shame
an everyday thing is intense. Every day.
It's expensive. That's I don't care if it's fast food or not. That adds up and quick.
And I get embarrassed when you go through a place and they say, can I have a name for the order? Like, no, I don't want you to know who I am. yes, you can have a name. And please, you know, take the cheese off my burger.
Don't say
and...
it out loud.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Okay, so the what does come, but it takes a minute to get there, all right? An Irish man who missed his flight at a Dublin airport was arrested last Thursday. Oh, I wish. No. Last Thursday for running after the plane on the tarmac in a bid to flag it down.
Well, that's what the what?
Well, I mean, it's a, okay. Witnesses said...
I mean, I've never done that before.
Mid-range. Right, no. Witnesses said that this man in his 20s, he broke through an airport door, ran toward the plane, which was about to take off for Amsterdam. Now, so far, this is kind of like the final act in like a 90s rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
stops
it's like...
Stops a plane, girl
I've
gets
seen
off,
this happen.
They fall in love.
Right, right. Spokesperson for the airport said that the man became agitated after he and a woman arrived at the gate too late for their flight. Then he broke through a door, made his way onto the apron, trying to flag the aircraft down. He was briefly restrained by airline staff. Then airport police arrived, and then he was ultimately handed over to Irish police, taken to a Dublin police station.
Yikes.
His name is Patrick Kehoe. Kehoe. Patrick Kehoe.
Oh.
Hey,
such
Patrick an Irish
Kehoe.
Name. Yeah. It's a good Irish name.
Is that the what the what? No.
No.
My Irish accent is the what the
He's
what.
He's locked up and his name is Kehoe.
Kehoe. He appeared in a Dublin court, was charged with criminal damage to a door lock.
Okay. Picking a seagull and picking a lock.
Yeah, right.
All right.
He was granted bail until a court appearance, which is scheduled for November. But okay, here comes the what the what. As he left court, Patrick shouted abuse and insults at journalists and swung at them with his suitcase before lowering his trousers and mooning the bystanders.
What?
Whoa,
yes.
Buddy. Whoa.
So I don't know what he was planning for Amsterdam, but...
see more O-buns.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So did they just like...
What the what?
Did they just turn him back around and go back
I
into the courtroom
maybe,
to settle
maybe.
That part
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
And
I don't
the
know.
The journalist like, keep filming.
That's right.
Or,
oh,
that's
wow.
Right.
Yes.
Wow. A lot of pixelation on the news. That
yes.
Yeah,
<absolutely.
laughs>
And then he was like, I know I'm going to jail already. I might as well just make a day of it.
Yes, make a day of it.
Not encouraged, but funny.
Right. Right.
All right, Tom.
Go ahead.
Okay, so authorities in eastern Ohio just recently arrested a grocery store employee. She's been charged with felony theft for helping herself to deli ham for years. Apparently, she's worked for this company for 8 years, and over the course of that eight-year hire, she has taken probably about 3 or 4 slices of ham every day, maybe salami sometimes.
Is that not part of her compensation package?
It's not. In fact, they say that
she didn't want to have to go get fast food every day.
They sold. She's stolen. They estimate about $9,200 worth of deli ham.
Over how many years?
Over 8 years. Her name is not available. She wasn't available for comments.
Sara Lee.
Miss Pinky.
Yeah, but that's about 200, I think I read 260 pounds or so of ham and salami that she's stolen over the course of 8 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Really? Not from the sampler tray, just like...
What the what?
And that's over $1,000
right.
of cold cuts.
Just cold cuts.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, you know, Steve, you got growing family. Yep. Like, if you go buy deli meat for your kids, I mean, that could rack up pretty quick.
Sure.
I just want to know what the conversation was like. Okay, well, fine. How many pieces did you take? Well, I took like 3 a day. Okay, well, you've been working here for this long. And so,
somebody
depending on
somebody
when this
the
meat was on
there.
Sale, like, yeah, like, how do they figure out the amount?
Well, someone has been watching her because someone tipped off the theft prevention manager at the store and said that she was taking she's taking 3 or 4 slices of ham a day. And it's really specific because it's ham, but authorities said sometimes salami.
She was feeling a little spicy.
I am not an advocate for stealing at all.
No.
But I also recognize that at my grocery store, the stuff that they don't sell of the day that it got sliced gets bagged and and there's a special section last chance, gots to go.
Yeah.
And
got a little green on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes that gets bought and sometimes it doesn't. So, I mean,
if it's going in her stomach or the trash,
what's the difference?
Well,
and if she is working there,
I don't know. You could kind of use
I feel like I'm justifying it.
Justification, to not ever have to charge anybody for anything.
That's a real slippery slope. Yeah.
Wait until it goes bad.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a lot, though.
That's a lot of
but
ham.
If you go to Meijer...
Sure.
And you are like, the turkey's on sale. Can I try a piece of that? They will gladly do that for you.
And that's probably where she got caught up in it. I get to give them a little bit. I can try a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Was she a good
totally. 3 for you? 920 pounds for me. You know,
was she a good employee aside from that?
Was that the only thing she did wrong?
I'm thinking she's not a good employee if she's stealing $9,200 worth of ham.
I don't think she thought of it as stealing.
Oh.
I think maybe she did it for every day for a year and it never...
Just never occurred to her.
She's like, they must think it's okay that I do this.
Or what if her supervisor at some point was like,
that's
you can
every
totally
once
do
in a
that.
While.
Mm-hmm. And then
you know what I mean?
And in the last 8 years, they've moved on to a different store.
Yes. Yeah.
And she didn't know it was the rules.
Or this is the new kind of ham we got. You can try it.
Yes.
So you are knowledgeable of the taste of this delicious ham.
Is it the $12.99 a pound ham?
You bet it. I think it was.
Boar's head.
Yeah, totally.
Boar's head.
So my question is, if they're theft prevention team is observing her. How long did that go on? Well, we're holding a case.
It was a state.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't make a move yet.
It's misdemeanor at this point. Let's wait till it's a felony. Exactly. She's one slice out away from a felony. Okay, we got her. She had the salami. She had the salami.
You know that she's going to use the I didn't think of it as stealing defense if we get her now. So gotta wait for a little bit.
I would prefer for her to eat a slice of ham than to be putting a fork in the potato salad and eating it
that's true. Yeah.
All right, Amanda.
All right,
wrap it up.
Officials in northern Arkansas are investigating the cause of a mysterious hole in the ground that spouted flames into the air for more than 40 minutes.
Whoa.
It happened on September 17th. They say it's not methane. They say it is not meteorites.
Brimstone.
They also went as far as the judge who is looking into this says it was not Satan. We've ruled
it
that
was
out.
Not
no,
Satan.
I was just turning to Revelation.
His quote is, he didn't come up and stick his pitchfork in the ground and blow that hole out.
Wow.
quote? Yes, that's the quote.
This. Is this down south?
Arkansas.
Yes, Arkansas.
Absolutely.
Great.
Where they sample deli meat at will.
Yes.
The flames flared up 12 feet high out of this hole. Like, you just got shooting flames. Geologists scoped the hole with a camera, determined that the hole was created by an animal, but they don't know why it was shooting up fire.
A fire-breathing dragon was in the hole.
You've gotten to Middle Earth.
Yeah, perfect.
There were no utility lines or fuel lines that were leaking.
So strange.
They are sending the soil to the lab to see maybe if it was like a gasoline thing, but... Can you imagine?
A gasoline thing.
12 feet of flames coming out of a random hole
for
in the ground.
40 minutes. Like, it seems like if it would be a gasoline thing, like, it would burn off quick, and then it would be done.
Pretty sure that animal is a Balrog. A Balrog of Morgoth.
That's the thing that killed Gandalf.
Shall not pass. Somebody in Arkansas should have said that.
Yeah. Yes, awesome, good.
I'm kind of surprised that, like... You didn't have friends and neighbors and people like setting up a barbecue around it. Like,
yeah.
You know, like that's when it bring people together.
Maybe they did, but after 40 minutes, as they got everything ready, it just died. And you're like,
really long. All right,
we got our
cold
burgers.
Meats.
We got our.
Just do it over the coals.
Yes, perfect. Oh, wow. That's really
what
weird.
The what?
Well, keep us updated. I'm interested to find out how that resolves.
If I find out more.
Well, it's time to wrap things up. We're back in 2 weeks, October 28th. Crazy to think the end of October is only that far away. With a new episode, let's close things out with a deep cut. Before we do that, I also want to thank Dodd. Dodd is back this week. Thanks for running the board, Dodd. Appreciate that. Brittany, we're back to you. What did you bring us?
Okay, so Lauren Daigle has a new album that was released a couple weeks ago. And obviously, yay Lauren Daigle. Mm-hmm. She's great. All the songs on her new album are excellent. But I'm hoping this one gets released as a single soon. If not, I think everybody should just listen to it because I love it. It's called Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And and I love the message of the song in general. It's just about, I mean, I take it as how much God loves us and how he is constantly pursuing us. Mm. But my favorite line or like segment of the song, it says, "There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor." So just that idea of, you know, I know I make lots of mistakes and I do tons of dumb stuff, but I think it always seems to be like that one or two things that I just keep doing over and over. Like, I should know this by now. I should know not to get mad at my husband about this by now, or I should just be able to like not be selfish in this area from now on. And I
checking my phone during
the movie. If I could just put my phone away and not make him mad by Googling facts, you know, all those different things. But I just love that, like, it doesn't matter how many times I mess up, God is always going to be pursuing me and loving me, and it doesn't change. His love for me doesn't change based on what I do. So anyway, this is Rescue by Lauren Daigle.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Brittany.
Welcome to the bullpen.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. You have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army. Find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you. I will rescue you.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
What?
Funny. Her name's funny. It's funny.
I'm Steve.
We just yeah. You have to laugh after yes. your name.
I had nothing but sugar today.
Oh, that's
go.
True.
Right. And coffee.
Are you crying?
No.
Did you get your hair done again?
No.
You have something in your eye.
Do you have your tonsils?
Your face is red.
Let's see how wildly uncomfortable we can make Amanda. That's a new segment.
I can smell the heat from your skin. You're flush.
Ew.
Ah. What'd you say?
I said I can smell the heat from your skin. You're flush.
That's smell heat.
All right. I
smell like hot oil.
Kind of. Yeah.
I'm gonna leave if we don't start this soon.
Okay. Brittany's had enough.
Heat has a smell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
I'm Steve.
And I. Steve.
You know I can use another intro.
Oh, that's true.
Oh.
All right, Amanda. How about you just start?